Welcome to another edition of Dr. Jane Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Lou Anne Crane, and our host, as always, is psychologist and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson. And Dr. Dobson, today we're tackling a topic that's very close to your heart.
Well, Lou Anne, you have heard me mention many times on this program in the last year or so that I live just two blocks from a rather plush Planned Parenthood here in Colorado Springs. Mm-hmm. And that means that I have to drive past them every day coming and going. And my heart grieves when I see these cars parked out there and know what's going on inside. Mm-hmm. I grieve for the women. I grieve for the babies mm-hmm. that are there. And probably 4 days a week, there are cars in that parking lot.
Doctor, my own son's pediatrician is right there next door to it, so I know exactly what you're talking about. We had this conversation the other day. We pulled in for his appointment, and we looked over, and we had to say, there are children dying in there.
Yeah. Well, what has encouraged me is that for more than a year, there have been people carrying signs in defense of the unborn on the street. They can't get within 300 feet of that Planned Parenthood, and the city enforces that pretty rigorously. But there are as many as anywhere from 10 to 30 people or more who are out there trying to encourage people to keep their babies and to save their lives. And a number of them have. They've had a great deal of success in doing that. But unfortunately, there are far more that are already determined to abort their babies when they come down that road. But it's on Centennial, and for people in Colorado Springs, they know the location of where I'm talking about. But I began stopping occasionally and talking to the people who are out there and asking why they came, why they were there, and how they felt about abortion, how they felt about the killing of babies. And I've made some friends out there, and two of them are with us here today.
Yes.
These are men that I have great respect for, and I think it's going to be very clear why as I introduce them. Father Bill Carmody is with us. He's the pastor of St. Dominic Catholic Church in Security, Colorado, which is just a bit south of us here in Colorado Springs. And he has been ordained since 1990. He has been the Respect Life Director for the Colorado Springs Diocese for 22 years. And he's known as one of the staunchest and most visible pro-life activists in our community, maybe in the country. Mm-hmm. And he has held a mass at Planned Parenthood clinics here in town every Saturday since Mother's Day weekend in 1994. Mm-hmm. And you can see why this man is important to me and why we have developed a friendship, because we share that concern for babies. And I want you to get acquainted with him, because his story and his passion will be very evident. Also joining us today is Joseph Martone, another man who is ardently pro-life and heavily involved in the anti-abortion events in our city. Joseph, I met you one day when I was driving by, and I stopped and we had a conversation. And I appreciated so much what you told me that day. You are disabled.
Yes.
You walk with a walker. Just to know you personally, you were injured when a big door fell on you?
Freight elevator door. Closed
elevator
on me.
Door.
Yeah.
And that was how long ago?
June 1st of 91.
And so you have been totally disabled since then.
Yes.
And yet you're out there on the street as many as 40 hours a week.
Yes.
Why?
To make a difference, because life is precious no matter what the circumstance.
And you have had some saves. That's what you call it when you encourage a woman not to abort her baby. And when she listens to you, that's a save.
Yes. I mean, it's God using me. You know, yeah. All glory to God, without a doubt, and I'm blessed for it.
Now, you have been abused a lot of times. How many times have you been attacked? Even though you have difficulty walking and you're obviously disabled, and yet people come up and attack you.
Physically, 32 times. Hmm.
And how do they attack you? Do they hit you?
Yes. Throw things at me, hit me. I've had a gun put to my head. I've had surgeries because of those attacks.
And you have a sign on your walker that says...
Stop abortion now.
And that's especially offensive to people, isn't it?
Very much so. Yeah, I've been, you know, physically, you know, 32 times, but cursed thousands of times. You know, it's pretty much every day. If I leave the house, you know, it goes wherever I go. And it's an extension of me. I've been asked to leave every kind of facility you can imagine, including, you know, my own faith, Catholic Church. Not asked to leave, but cursed in the Catholic Church.
In the church?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
In the church?
In the church. It's an angry subject. People are hurting, and they haven't dealt with the problem if they've been involved with it. And,
so you're assuming some of these people have aborted their babies or are married to someone who has?
Right. I have the conversation with people, is there such a sign that would make me just go up and curse someone? No, there's not, no matter what the sign said. If it cursed me, cursed my nationality, cursed my religion, I'd want to discuss it, but just to go up and curse them or attack them? So, yes, I believe they had to have been involved with an abortion somehow.
Have you been knocked down?
Oh, yes.
So
seriously.
You mean, when you say you've been...
And I've never been attacked by just one person. It's always multiple. And it's, you know, only once was I ever with somebody else. Every other time when they see me out there alone or in the supermarket and movie theater and a restaurant. And
so when you go in a supermarket and you have this walker with that sign,
yes.
You have actually been thrown out.
I've been assaulted in Target, Walmart, and Safeway. Safeway's never asked me to leave, though. Target's asked me to leave multiple times, so has Walmart, and I've never left. If you want me to leave, you need to call the police. I'm not leaving.
Where do you get the courage to take a stand for righteousness in that way?
It's God. I couldn't do it alone. You know, it's tough, and always handle it respectfully. You know, no matter what is said to me.
Joseph, you've been in the pro-life movement a long time, and you talk to people every day, trying to save those babies' lives and prevent those women from experiencing the pain of abortion. Just a minute ago, Dr. Dobson mentioned what you call saves. Do you have some of those stories that you could share with us?
Yes, quite a few. A couple of recent ones. A van pulls up, and immediately I see there's five little ones in her van. One old enough to not be in a car seat. The others, in my opinion, all belonged in a car seat. The smallest one was, and the other three weren't. So I start the conversation that you need to go to LifeNet or Catholic Charities to get a car seat. And she was amazed that I'm not talking about abortion. I'm talking about her children who are born. I'm worried about them being protected the right way. And then I go into, why you got Planned Parenthood? Well, I have five. I'm pregnant, and I don't think my husband can handle another one. I talked to her about trusting God. I said, you have five kids. You can't be even thinking this. You know, she takes all my information, and she calls me Sunday three times. I was busy at church with a couple of functions, and I finally answered the phone the last time. I didn't know it was her, but the same number had called me. And she tells me who she is and that she told her husband after church Sunday that she's pregnant and that he was joyfully happy. But I had told her about LifeNet, Catholic Charities, and that I would help her. And so I already have a couple of items for her that I've gotten donated from some people. And I'm going to help her in any way I can. And she's going to give life. And there was I forgot what day, but recently a car came up. And it was a older black man with three little ones in the back seat. And he and some woman were at Planned Parenthood going in and out quite a few times. I said, I saw your interaction with some woman over there. And he said, that's my daughter. And she's pregnant and going to have an abortion. I said, you need to go back there and stop her. And he says, well, you see these kids. The oldest, she was in love with this guy. They were getting married. He died. the other two conceived in rape. And she's pregnant again with another rape baby. And I told him, well, still, it's a precious life. I said, look at these ones. He says, I'm taking care of these kids. She's messed up. She needs help. I said, well, help her. Tell her to do the right thing. You need to speak up as her father. And I give him the literature. And he's very disgusted, and he leaves. Well, they called me the next, actually, I think it was two nights later. They called me, and she got on the phone and talked to me. And she's having this baby.
And Joseph, all of these examples you've given, you've planted a seed and then they've come back to you.
Yes.
You
know, well, I write my name on the Watch Me Grow brochure. I write Joseph and my phone number. And I get some very bad phone calls, too, yeah. to say the least, every time of the day you can imagine. In 3 months I've been doing this, I've given out over 100 packets of literature. So I've spoken to 100 people. So that's kind of amazing. I'm like, wow, I've given out a lot of stuff. So you never know.
So you
know?
Don't underestimate the power of planting that seed.
Exactly.
And the Lord will bring that to fruition when they
need it. And it's all the other pro-lifers. It's everybody else praying. Even if you don't have the nerve or what it takes to go out to an abortion clinic, pray at home about this. You know, we just have to pray. Prayers are good. God is good.
Father Carmody, is it your impression in dealing with people that even those who call themselves pro-abortion or pro-choice know in their hearts that it's wrong?
Yes, I believe that. And, you know, you can lie with your mouth. You can't lie with your body. Yeah. And if you ever listen to them, they talk, they have their teeth grit saying, it's okay, it doesn't bother me. And they're gritting their teeth as they're saying it, because every fiber in their body is saying, this was a human life. And you can do one of two things. You can knock them over the head with the truth and make them run away. Or you can love them and recognize. See, if you don't love the person as they are, how are we ever going to get them to love the child in their womb?
Mm. Yeah.
If you treat the mother as the enemy, both lose.
And she's not the enemy. No. She is another victim.
She's a second victim. Exactly. Mm. And we need to see that in them, that they are victims just like their babies.
I want to come back to you, Joseph, about your having been arrested not too long ago and what the implications of that are, but we'll come back to that. Father Carmody, I would really like to know where your great passion for the unborn child comes from, because there are many people who are priests who don't carry that burden. Why you?
Mm. I've always been for the underdog. I think it comes back to when I was an athlete, sort of, and always picked last in gym class and always treated like the least. And I want to be a voice for the voiceless, because the least in our culture today are the preborn, the first forgotten, the first ignored. And I want to be the voice for the voiceless.
You just think about what Joseph said a minute ago, that people become angry because you're trying to defend those babies. I really don't understand that. Explain it.
It shows a lack of maturity in people's part to acknowledge that they're wrong. And if you've put your whole career on and bought the lie that it's not human, that it's not human till it breathes, and when you're affronted with the truth, you respond in anger. Because it's easier to respond in anger than to be honest about it and say, you know, I was wrong. I was just wrong in my opinion.
Do you get criticism from your parishioners?
Well, I've been doing this so long, I think the ones that criticize are long gone. I mean, you know, a lot of my priest brothers say, you shouldn't be so bold because you're going to hurt people. And my response to that is, if you're not bold, you're going to hurt people. And, you know, there are a lot of – and this part's true. There are a lot of people in churches who are post-abortive. I mean, abortion is not less in the church than it is in the general population.
Yes.
And a lot of them are silent on this issue because they don't want to, out of a pastor's heart, they don't want to hurt people. They don't want to rub their nose in it, so to speak. But if you speak about the truth and at the same time the love of God and forgiveness, mm-hmm. I think that squelches the anger. Yeah. If all you do is speak about the truth without the reconciliation and the love of God, yeah. then people get angry. But when you talk about reconciliation, I mean, my model is Jesus. Who condemned sin more than Jesus? And who had more compassion on sinners than Jesus?
And they put him on a cross.
And they put him on a cross. But he's our model. You condemn the sin, but you love people involved in it.
Amen. Yeah.
And you bring them to healing.
Tell us what happens on those street corners outside Planned Parenthood on a given day. People come by, do they honk?
Well,
do they smile? Do they wave?
Good and bad.
Yes, you get all of them. And I'll be honest with you. Our culture's changing. And my anecdotal evidence to that is we're getting more positive now than we did before.
Really?
Yeah. More positive.
More positive waves, thumbs up. And then you will get the middle finger as well. But that's becoming less and the positive's becoming more. I think our culture, slowly but surely, is becoming more pro-life. Our young people are pro-life off the scale. You go to March for Life, mm-hmm. and it's 85% young people. And part of it is our side's having babies. Their side isn't.
And they're raising those babies with the truth.
With the truth, exactly. And if one side's having babies and the other side's not having babies, mm-hmm. well, where does the culture go?
Doctor, we even have some photos from another recent pro-life event here in town. I think it was the kickoff for the 40 Days of Life campaign, which I hope we'll talk about later. But I would agree, it was striking the number of young people that are coming out to these events and being bold. They are the ones leading the charge in that regard.
Absolutely. And I learned that from Martin Luther King. Martin Luther King figured out when he'd do all his marches that the older people had to work. They had to go have jobs. Their kids were free to go march. Yeah. So he focused on the young people and got the young people. And why did he do what he did? Because of his Christian faith. His faith called him to the radical equality of every human person. And what calls me to doing this? The radical equality that we're all created in God's image and likeness. All of us are equal before God. And for Martin Luther King, he saw the inequality between whites and other minorities. For us, the inequality between those born and those yet to be born. Mm-hmm. It's the same argument, the same civil rights movement.
Yeah, of course, you two gentlemen are both of the Catholic faith. I'm Protestant. And I invited you here today for a reason, because I deeply appreciate what Catholics have done to defend the unborn child. I'm telling you that I was shocked when I heard the Roe v. Wade decision handed down. I waited for Protestants to protest this. That's what the word Protestant means. Mm-hmm. And I heard virtually nothing. And if it were not for the Catholic Church through the 70s and 80s and 90s, this movement would not have had the impetus that it does. But as you said, Father, we are winning this battle.
Yes, we are.
And you all and your colleagues get a lot of the credit for it. And Father Carmody, again, the last time you were here and we met, you talked about the fact that there are very, very few Protestants that come to protest the killing of babies or picketing or beg for the lives of babies. Is that an accurate statement?
Yes, compared to I can only go by what's going on in Colorado Springs. Other cities might be different. We have three or four very committed Protestant people that come. In the rest of the people that are out there are Catholic.
But I say shame on them. And I plan to be at the rally that's coming up on religious liberty on the 20th of October. Would you describe that for us?
Yes. The 20th of October, 137 cities are having a Stand Up for Religious Liberty run by Eric Schreider out of Chicago. And it's an opportunity to stand up for religious freedom against the administration's HHS mandate that forces religious institutions to pay for abortion, contraception, pay for abortive fashions. And every bishop in the United States has said no to this. I've never seen our bishops more unified on any issue. And it's just I'm so proud right now to be a Catholic and to watch our bishops basically telling administration, we will not comply. We will not follow this mandate. That's how powerful this is and how profound this is. And we need everybody standing up for religious liberty. Now, in Colorado Springs, it'll be at Acacia Park from noon to 1, and it'll be, if you've ever done a life chain, we'll stand 5 or 6 feet apart holding signs, circle the park, and if we can go around the other side, we will. We're going to stand there and pray for our country. This isn't partisan. This isn't one candidate over another. This is about religious liberty. And if you look at our Constitution, religious liberty comes before free speech.
Yes. It's the foundation for all of
our
rights.
And so that's how critical this is. And it just – it boggles my mind that we were even in this boat. I am shocked that a country that stood for religious liberty so much, we're even having this as – it's even a debatable issue.
Well, I am shocked too, and I wrote one of my monthly letters on this subject of religious liberty, and especially for us, the abortifacient aspect of the requirement of the HHS mandate. And I wrote on there, I can't quote it, but I can tell you what I said. President Obama, I will not comply with this ruling, which is antithetical to everything I believe. And if you want me, come get me, because I will not compromise on an issue that's central to my conscience.
And that's true civil disobedience. And that's what's called for here.
Definitely.
Civil disobedience. We're not going to take over the country in a sense in a violent or military way. We simply will not comply.
Well, in the Manhattan Declaration, which I signed and a 500,000 others signed, that was written by two Catholics and a Protestant. There was Dr. Timothy George and Professor Robbie George, and then Chuck Colson, my great friend, who's gone on to be with the Lord. But the last statement in that declaration says, we will render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, but we will in no case render unto Caesar that which is God's.
Amen.
And that really puts it into perspective, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And I can't believe, in light of our Constitution, that our nation is going down this road. It boggles my mind.
Well, our listeners can very quickly get the perspective on why I asked you all to be here and why it matters to me and to my conscience as well. But we're not finished. Joseph, I want both of you to come back, but I want you to tell us about your being arrested and what has happened to you as a result. And we're going to talk some more about this. Can you be with us again?
Yes.
Yes, of course.
Thank you all for being with us today, and we'll pick up right here next time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we'll also be letting listeners know more about those events happening right now where they can make a stand for life in their own communities. We heard a little bit today about the Stand for Religious Freedom rally. That's happening in just a few days, this Saturday, October 20th. And tomorrow, hopefully, we'll learn a little bit more about the 40 Days for Life campaign, which we're in the midst of right now. If you'd like to learn about either of these, please go to drjamesdobson.org. Also there, you can view those photos of the youth involved in the rallies, which I mentioned earlier. That would be of the individuals participating in that 40 Days for Life kickoff event right here in Colorado Springs. And we don't want to close this program out today without acknowledging that for someone listening right now, this issue is very personal. If you have been directly impacted by abortion, please do not hesitate to call Family Talk. We'd love to speak with you, pray with you over the phone, perhaps even connect you with a Christian counselor in your area who can help you work through these issues. The phone number to call, 877-732-6825. Thank you so much for listening today, and please be sure to join us next time for more with Father Bill Carmody and Joseph Martone. They'll be right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.